Good evening, it is 5pm and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After being in limbo since February, the Kingston School of Art has announced that they officially have a new home. KSOA made the difficult decision to move from their location of 31 years at the corner of Princess Street and Victoria Street earlier this year. But later this month, KSOA will be joining Providence Village. Located at 1200 Princess Street, the charitable organization brings together diverse community partners to offer services to people across the region. Some of the partners that call the village home include Girls Inc. Limestone, the Heart Center, Providence Care, the Alzheimer's Society, and Independent Living Center Kingston. This new chapter for KSOA will include a dedicated printmaking studio with professional presses, flexible multi-purpose classrooms for arts programming, increased accessibility, and collaboration with the village's vibrant community of nonprofits. KSOA's treasurer and longtime board member, Rob Hosier, sat down with CFRC to chat about the upcoming move.
Last time we chatted with KSOA, things were quite up in the air. I was wondering if you could just give us the full story of how this partnership with Providence Village came to be and how we ended up here where you're ready to move in at the end of September.
Oh my gosh, Providence Village was perfect. It's just that perfect timing that you never get in working with nonprofit organizations. It seems like we're always scrambling, but really we loved our old location. That's like a fact. We had an amazing landlord. We had an amazing location, but you know there's a few drawbacks to it in a sense as well. We had limited accessibility and we had limited parking. And as a lot of nonprofits over the pandemic, you start reassessing where your resources go and things like that. And so we were kind of going through a change where we were re-scoping how we served our community and making sure that we weren't duplicating services and going through an internal kind of assessment. In that assessment, we determined that this nice big space, which I'm sure is going to be utilized for something incredible afterwards, isn't necessarily suiting our needs for what we need to provide for the community. And so we looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, and then Providence Village comes to us and says, hey, you know, we've got space in our organization, our village that may suit KSOA. And they came to us in the purest sense of community. They're looking for community partners to be in a little community to serve the bigger community, which it's like layers of community. And so when when that proposition came to the table, we were like, it's a no brainer at this point. It's an incredible opportunity. It increases our accessibility, increases our parking, increases our space, increases everything that we can do to equitably provide arts to their community without breaking the bank.
Absolutely. And you kind of dove into this a bit there, but it sounds like this new space is adding a lot for KSOA. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about what's different about this location.
There's a major issue and there's so much potential. And so it's amazing opportunity. So what we're excited about is, like, number one, what I said is that we're entering into an existing community that already has people that already are populating the village with community-facing services and different organizations that even that alone could keep us busy for the next 5 or 6 years, if not more. But on top of that, just the resources and the connections and the accessibility and just the opportunity to increase our footprint at Providence Village. The outdoors around Providence Village is just incredible, the outdoor space. And so when we start considering reinstating summer camps and spring break camps and, you know, art camps, plein air painting events and things like that, things like we can take art to the outdoors. We're unparalleled for space in that. So, you know, it's literally that thing where we have so much opportunity and they've been so amazing to work with and providing us opportunities, providing us ideas on how we can engage with their community and the existing community at large. It's just been amazing.
That's awesome. And this is kind of jumping around a bit, but it just came to mind. Last time I spoke with Christiane, everything was really up in the air. They didn't know where all the supplies were going. I was wondering, where has everything been in the meantime? Did folks take
it home? In a large storage unit. We actually slimmed down. We had 31 years in that last location. So as you can understand, being a volunteer-led organization, things start to collect after a while, and maybe not in the best ways. And things. So we had a massive clean out. Our team and our board and a few other folks came, and we spent literally weeks going through all of our old art, you know, salvaging what we could salvage, and then literally selling everything that we didn't need at the time. And so we focused on the education system and teachers that need supplies for their classrooms and such. And then it got to the point where it's just like, come in, grab what you need and go, just making sure that we were just not wasting those particular resources. But from then on in, we have these massive printing presses because we have printmakers. We're literally one of the only ones. I don't know as far as region goes, but we're at least the only ones in the region with full printmaking equipment and things. So you have these massive printmaking pieces of equipment and things like that. They've all been in storage for now while we custom fit up our space in Providence Village. And so we have a few spaces in Providence Village that we're going to do some core printmaking and things like that, but also open up the other classroom, open up some other classrooms for some art programming. But all that stuff has been in storage. We're literally moving that stuff in later on this month because we had to accommodate for these big, massive printmaking machines, and Providence Village has been amazing with us trying to get these things in there. But yeah, it's literally in storage, going back in, and now we're organizing the space to provide a core printmaking studio and then start setting up our classrooms. So that exciting work happens this end of this month, I believe. And so we can have hopefully some courses going up in fall.
Awesome. And what's kind of the energy of your team right now? You guys are all kind of getting ready to move and slowly ramp up programming. How's it going?
We did some strategic planning not too long ago. We're so excited, but a little bit exhausted. So if we're a volunteer run board, there's less than 10 of us that are doing this. And so on our ksoa.info, if you'd like to volunteer or help or support or anything like that, just shoot us a line there. We'd appreciate the help. But we are so excited. We definitely are in such a state of transition right now. And so we're trying to also, you know, put our mission and what we want to accomplish in our community really, really, you know, forward and really focus on that, in the sense that we are now downsizing and we're now have the opportunity to really change our model up quite severely. So we've been throwing around ideas like shared spaces models, where we go into the community with like a kit of things that we could do within that classroom space, or that church basement, or that Rideau Heights Community Center, or Boys and Girls Club, or whatever the case may be. And so there's a lot of possibility right now, but we're really trying to start and get a firm foothold with the printmakers, and then the on-premises studios to start up a few classes as kind of our bedrock, and then start being creative from there on in.
Once again, that was Rob Hosier, board member with the Kingston School of Art, on their upcoming move to their new home at Providence Village later this month. NAV Canada has broken ground on the country's first ever digital air traffic facility right here in Kingston. This temporary site will serve as the foundation for next-generation air navigation technologies before a permanent digital hub is established in the city. David Shepherd, NAV Canada's Vice President and Chief Technology Officer, explained in an interview with CFRC how Kingston's new facility will transform the current air traffic control model.
Yeah, it's very different in terms of the nature around how the services are going to be provided forward. Today, we have staff that work actually physically at a location in a physical building looking at windows. Tomorrow, with this technology, the introduction of this technology, we'll be bringing in state-of-the-art cameras, equipment that will and high-speed networks that will bring in a video feed and simulate the out-the-window view onto a screen that can be independent of the location of where the service is provided from. And the technology that's available actually also includes significant improvements from what's available from out the human eye. So things like digital overlays, or you can see surveillance, automatic detection tracking, that all improves the safety environment for our employees and for the aviation community.
So why Kingston? Shepherd says a combination of factors made the city an ideal fit.
We ended up looking across the country to determine where we thought would make most sense to start trialing this technology and our first digital hub as well. And we ended up narrowing in within a region of a number of different cities. And Kingston was looked at for a number of different factors on three categories, work, live, and play. And it really was looking at it from an employee's perspective around the quality of life, not just at the work environment, but for their family and for themselves in terms of the city that they're living in. And so Kingston came out amongst the top within the region that we were looking for. In addition, it's got proximity to Ottawa, which is an important element, particularly for this first site, for our technical teams to go there and our operational teams to go there to trial the technology, but also the regulator, which is Transport Canada, to be part of the process as well and be able to hop in a car and go down to Kingston and see the technology as it's evolving to ensure that they're confident in the solution and the capabilities as well.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of got into it a bit there, but what does this mean for the city and our residents? What kind of opportunities will this bring?
So there's a number of opportunities that are going to pop up. One is just trialing the technology. So there is investment that's going in to Kingston even right now with this announcement. You'll see we're starting a fairly significant construction project to build out and expand the existing tower that's at the Kingston Airport to accommodate this digital facility. It also will mean a number of different jobs that will move into Kingston as well in terms of providing our traffic services. We've also just relocated a couple of technologists as well that lead there. So these are great jobs, and it's a great city, and so it would be a significant amount of opportunity for the city of Kingston.
The Kingston site is part of NAV Canada's broader Digital Aerodrome Air Traffic Services Initiative, joining a global shift already underway in 16 other countries.
Yes, so we end up looking across the globe, really, to see who is doing what in air traffic control services using these digital facilities. And there's a number of really interesting models that are out there. One is in London City, where they end up remoting in a very busy airport into Swanwick, so it's the southern part of the UK. And the other one was in Norway, where there was a digital hub concept that we end up seeing, which was where we think the future is, where it's not just about moving single airports. It's looking at this much more holistically as an organization around how we can move multiple airports into a single location so that we can provide more staffing flexibility. We can concentrate sort of the technology investments in the future as well. And so looking at those models, we ended up mirroring ours off of the Norway model.
The permanent hub in Kingston is expected to be up and running in the early 2030s and will eventually host remote services for up to 20 airports.
Yeah, it's all dependent on how the technology evolves and getting through a number of stages of approvals for ourselves to make sure we're confident that the safety case behind it, the technology is functioning, and our operational staff are able to use it appropriately, and making sure our regulator with Transport Canada is also confident in the capabilities that we've demonstrated along the way. So there's a number of gates that we're moving along, but the more permanent solution is we're looking in the early 2030s for us working towards that. But we're starting with Kingston at the Kingston Airport, and then we'll be adding one additional airport to trial out the remote capabilities within the next few years. Associated with that. And then after that, that's where we start building up the digital hub and scaling that up.
For now, Kingston will lead the way in testing Canada's aviation future. For CFRC News, I'm Christina Laurie, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, September 15th, daytime high of 23 degrees with largely sunny conditions here in the city of Kingston, dropping down to 12 overnight. Tuesday, September 16th, daytime high of 25 with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 12 overnight once more. Wednesday, September 17th, a little cooler with a high of 23, but with all the beautiful sunshine, it's going to feel closer to 26, and it will be a little warmer overnight with a overnight low of just 15 degrees. Thursday, September 18th, daytime high of 24, another beautiful sunny day. Friday, September 19th, 20 in the day, but it is dropping down to sub double digits, 8 degrees overnight. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, September 20th, daytime high of 16 with an overnight low of 8, sunny conditions. And Sunday, September 21st, daytime high of 17 with a lot of cloud coverage, dropping down to an overnight low of 9. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We will focus on road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen 2 Colborn, closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Earl Street, Collingwood 2 Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Johnson Street at Victoria closed September 15th to 26th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. Kings Court Avenue concession to First is closed until October 10th for a gas main installation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge is closed until September 19th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Montreal Street at Railway and Rideau is closed September 18th at 11 p.m. to the following morning at 6 a.m. to accommodate a paving operation. Princess Street at Taylor Kidd and John Counter is closed September 17th at 11 p.m. to the next morning at 6 a.m. to accommodate a paving operation. And Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson, is also closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.